This episode is brought to you by Experian. Are you paying for subscriptions you don't use, but can't find the time or energy to cancel them? Experian could cancel unwanted subscriptions for you, saving you an average of $270 per year and plenty of time. Download the Experian app. Results will vary. Not all subscriptions are eligible. Savings are not guaranteed. Paid membership with connected payment account required.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
On About Books, we delve into the latest news about the publishing industry with interesting insider interviews with publishing industry experts. We'll also give you updates on current nonfiction authors and books, the latest book reviews, and we'll talk about the current nonfiction books featured on C-SPAN's Book TV. And now on Book TV, we want to introduce you to Patrick Oliver. He is a founder of a group called Say It Loud, Readers and Writers. Mr. Oliver, what is that group?
We are a group that advocate and promote literary events and activities in communities around the country. I specifically target Little Rock, Arkansas, my birthplace, and Dallas, Texas, where I currently reside. But we love the idea of books being a community, author talks, symposiums, panel discussions, just an environment where young people, parents, and just community people are coming together to celebrate literature.
And where did you come up with the idea?
You know, I'm a Southern guy, born in Little Rock, Arkansas. We love soul music. We love gospel music. We love blues. And we love James Brown because he's the hardest working man in show business. So his song, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, resonated with me. Because that, you know, growing up, I grew up again in the South, Little Rock, Arkansas, and during that time, you know, it was a Black Pride movement going around the country, and I wanted my organization to kind of say the same thing, to say it loud about literature.
And you founded this in 1997?
1997, you know, after, you know, spending 13 years in Southern California working in the aerospace industry. I went back to Little Rock, Arkansas to just visit family, you know, just hang out, and end up staying more years than I thought. And that community was looking for literary activities to do with young people. And because of my time in Southern California, hanging out at bookstores, literary events, I thought, hey, why don't I try to give something back to my birthplace where I was born?
Why the focus on minority communities?
You know, there is a push around the country to expose young people to literature, literature that promotes pride, self-identity, you know, that sort of thing. So in some communities, that is not being done often enough. So I decided to step up, let me take that mantle, let me push that effort and look at these young people, particularly boys, you know, who, you know, as you well know, Peter, sports, you know, boys, a lot of boys in our community want to be the next multi-million-dollar athlete. But you also have a percentage of young people who like to be nerds, like myself growing up. I love books. I love reading. I love exploring. So there's a huge group of boys and girls who like literature. So I decided to focus on boys and girls who are in minority communities who may not have access to literary activities like I mentioned earlier.
Now, you wrote or you edited a book in 2006 called Turn the Page and You Don't Stop, Sharing Successful Chapters in Our Lives with Youth. And in a review of that book, the African American Literature Club book review said, quote, "For some reason, reading isn't generally considered cool among most Black teens, especially males in inner city schools, or self-destructive attitude, which only lessens their prospects for success later in life. Fortunately, Patrick Oliver has staked his career on reversing this suicidal trend." What kind of books do you put in kids' hands?
You know, fantastic, you know, books around poetry. You know, I grew up, again, in the South, you know, Ebony and Jet magazine, the published by John H. Johnson. In that in those publications, those magazines, was a lot of poetry. So poetry kind of, because it had a similarity with rap music, rhyme, you know, it had similarity to R&B music that I grew up on, I decided, hey, let me start this project off utilizing poetry. And I worked with a gentleman by the name of Dr. Tony Medina, who's a professor at Howard University, Ian's professor. He helped me launch Say It Loud in Little Rock, Arkansas by coming there and spending 4 or 5 days with us, just talking to young people about the power of creative writing, the power of poetry. And so, you know, that was very exciting and dynamic to be able to do that. And then working at Third World Press for a number of years with Haki Madhubuti as director of sales and marketing, working around a poet, you know, and then being exposed to poets like Sterling Plump and Shelley Norman Ellis, just some brilliant people. So reading their poetry and then sharing it with young people, seeing young people resonate toward it because, again, of the rhythm and rhyme in the poetry, I just thought, let me expose these young people to poetry more and more. And the results were dynamic.
Well, Mr. Oliver, as you well know, you can put books out on the shelf or in front of people, but to get them to open them and to understand them, how do you accomplish that?
Again, back to my earlier point of hosting literary activities. You know, if you look on my website or in my social media pages, you'll see, you know, I'm part of some organizations that's promoting literatures. Sometimes I'll reach out to those organizations and say, hey, how can we be a part of it to host a writing workshop for young people or reading? Or they'll contact me and say, hey, Patrick, we love what you're doing with young people. Can you come and work at our organizations to facilitate a workshop with young people? So young people meeting writers and authors, a lot of young people for the first time, they're meeting authors. I've had opportunity to work with Derek Barnes quite frequently, who has won probably every major literary award there is for children's book, Caldecott, Newbery, Coretta Scott King. And young people just resonated toward him when he walked into the room because they had read his book and they saw the resiliency identified in his books. You know, his book titled Crown, Ode to the Fresh Cut, is about a young boy going into a barbershop and coming out celebrating who he is. And his other book, I Am Every Good Thing, again, celebrating a boy's identity. And his other, he has books for girls, Ruby and the Book of Boys. So those books, and with those author appearances, you know, the author appearances that we did in Chicago with the Open Book Program, those young people went crazy, like they would go crazy for an athlete or entertainer who come to their school. So that is what we try to do, is put these authors and writers in front of these young people in community centers, in bookstores, in libraries, let them come out and enjoy themselves. And they find out, Peter, these authors and writers are just like me. They, you know, they talk like me, they look like me. They like the same thing I like. They like the same kind of food I like. They grew up like me. They enjoy bicycles, they enjoy video games. So that's the attraction in a lot of ways for young people and how to get them involved.
Well, speaking of video games, how do you compete with social media and video games to get attention to a longer form book?
I would lie and say it's not difficult. It is a huge challenge. Even in my family, you know, with my nephews and nieces, particularly my nephews, they love this technology. And I'm quite sure growing up, I would have enjoyed this technology as well, because it's extremely fascinating, you know, to be able to play a game that would, you know, just go beyond your imagination. So it is a huge challenge. But at the same time, I'm asking parents and community centers and community leaders to get behind the effort to promote more literary events in your community. You know, asking radio stations, you know, who are DJs, to host authors, you know, as some of your special guests to talk to, besides athletes and entertainers, you know, to give it that extra effort that is needed. Because it is a huge challenge. Because again, those games are fun. You know, the Y2K basketball game, you know, all those games out there, and I understand why they enjoy it, because growing up I enjoyed the toys and different, you know, things that were put in front of me to enjoy. I explored them as well, you know, because as a young person, these minds that we have are so curious about new things, particularly technology, and these young people are exposed to cell phones and iPads, so they have access to, again, some wonderful and fun games. They're games, but they also have found ways, many schools and most school districts, to help young people learn. They're downloading books on the iPads, on their phone. So you know, we have to find ways to make both of those happen.
As a young person, how were you exposed to books?
I grew up in East Little Rock, Arkansas, about a mile and a half from the William Jefferson Clinton Presidential Library. It was called the Hollingsworth Court Housing Projects. So we didn't have a lot to do. The newspaper came. We had two newspapers in Little Rock, Arkansas at the time, the Arkansas Gazette, the Arkansas Democrat. And everybody in the community wanted to keep up what was going on. You know, at that time, it was only maybe three or four channels that we would watch, major channels anyway. We didn't have, you know, the access to streaming and all of that. So we found joy in those newspapers, the news. I love sports, so my parents made sure Sports Illustrated were at my house. They would take us to the library and we'd read, you know, read the Sports Illustrated that were at the library. And they also encouraged us to check out books. And the churches I grew up in, in the South, they promoted Black poetry. You know, Maya Angelou, Paul Laurence Dunbar, we did skits. We had to read those books to do those Easter Sunday skits and, you know, skits during special times for the church. So it was the community that I grew up in that was extremely, I would say, brilliant, because we had teachers and different people who lived in the neighborhood with us. So they kind of knew us. And so they would, again, bring those efforts to get us to read more, again, to our community, to our neighborhoods, to our churches, and the community centers that we hung out in East Little Rock.
Patrick Oliver, how involved are you with the public schools at this point with Say It Loud?
We do a lot of work with public schools. Recently, we did something with the Little Rock School District, Chico Elementary. We had a fantastic time, myself and another author. Spent almost a full day there of the Fayetteville, North Carolina School District. I'm sorry, Cumberland School District in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We had a great time with them. We were working with the Dallas Public Schools indirectly, independent school district indirectly. So we're doing a lot of work with school districts. We'd like to do more. We'd like to see them, again, bring more and more authors to their schools so these other people can meet those authors.
How are you funded?
We're funded through various partnerships. You know, we just got great news yesterday. The Little Rock Central High School National Historic Site is going to support a literary series that we're going to do in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's going to be a series that goes to the end of the year. So monthly, young people get a chance to go to a different venue in Little Rock and meet some amazing authors that we have scheduled to come and participate. So I'm excited about that. And we also, the City of Dallas Office of Arts and Culture supports my efforts by providing me with contracts to go into the communities and do writing workshops. And in those writing workshops, I try to invite published authors to participate in those writing workshops with me. So with these partnerships that I've, and collaborations that I've been working with, you know, like the African-American Museum, here in Dallas. We have a big book festival coming up in November. You know, they support a lot of my work, and the Austin African American Book Festival, they've been supporting my work over the years as well.
How do you measure success?
When young people come to an event and smiles and can't wait for the author to sign their book, oftentimes measure the success. But there's five children in attendance, or there's 150 children in attendance, the smiles and the radiation. Of course, they're gonna take that signed book they have and go back to their community, their neighborhoods, and say, hey, I got this book signed, here's where I went to. They're gonna make their book a part of their school show and tell. But success is also measured by the parents' engagement. You know, I really, really wanna see our parents engage more with our projects. You know, we do a lot of in-school things, which is great. Great attendance, obviously, because there's some built-in audience. But when you do the community events, your school, in public libraries, at bookstores, I want to see parents bring their children to those events. You know, I got friends who I bug all the time about, hey, donate to our project so we can buy books to give away to the children who participate or attend our projects and programs. So the success, again, is measured by attendance. It's also measured by the impact that we've heard from educators who said, Ms. Sullivan, thank you so much for bringing that Breakfast, Books, and Boys project to our school, which is one of our primary initiatives. And so, because they saw a change in boys' attitude, the excitement for boys to go to on a school day, Wednesday morning at 7:15, there at a literacy program, enjoying themselves for 35 minutes.
Patrick Oliver is the founder of the literary group Say It Loud, Readers and Writers. Thanks for joining us on Book TV.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.